Week 8 of the Benchwarmers. Can't believe we made it to 8 already. Thought it would have ended a lot sooner. This might be the one that gets us kicked off.
Might end after today.
Zach Willis back with Quinn Ollo out here in Bison Report Studios. We have a very special guest. The man who made fun of me most for being a bench warmer.
Davies legend.
Shanley legend.
Spartan. That's right. North. Fargo North.
We have NDSU legend, Fargo legend, the mayor of Fargo until James Hendricks got here, Ty Brooks. Ty, thanks for coming out, man. We appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I mean, I think this will get – we usually do, like, I don't know, people have guests on, they do interviews and stuff, but I think we'll chop it up throughout the whole thing. I want to hear your perspective as somebody, you know, who was a senior leader, captain, obviously, and, like, have a different perspective than we did through all this stuff, obviously. Some slower starts the last couple of weeks, and you know how Bison fans are. They get all up in arms about everything. So let's talk about Indiana State. I did not get to watch the game. I was working on Saturday. All I knew was people melting down on Twitter and texting me and everything. As far as I could tell, the biggest problem was just turnovers and stuff like that. But how does it feel when, you know, you're really in the thick of it and you're a starter going through a slow half? Is it as frustrating as it feels?
It is, but at the same time, I feel like somebody got to step up and start making plays.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Somebody older, whether it's the quarterback, whether it's the running back. I mean, being a running back, we always took it upon ourselves to be that spark plug.
Yeah.
But somebody got to kick it up a notch when the game's slow like that, you know? And I was watching the game at work on Saturday and seeing – I mean, you never know. Any Saturday, anybody could win, but seeing us play like that against Indiana State kind of pissed me off, you know what I mean?
Because
that's the bottom of the pack in my eyes for the Valley. So if we're playing like that against somebody, you know what I mean? Somebody in that competition, it's not a good look. But we'll bounce back from it. We always do. They got to lock in this week.
Well, yeah.
I think you've seen, like, you see college teams and NFL teams. It feels like this year we're like one of those teams where we can win by either 2 points or 20 points to any of these teams.
Right.
And it's a weird thing to watch.
That's not sustainable, though.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't do that. You got to start playing well every game. You got to start playing cohesive every game.
I think it was my sophomore year, 2018. I think we dropped one to SDSU in the regular season. But the whole season was slow first half starts. And, like, you just can't have it because you lose to good teams.
I think that was 2017.
Yeah.
It was, I went back and looked at that year because, like, that was one – because I didn't go, but, like, went into overtime with Youngstown, won it on a camp field goal. Like, it was a lot of those games, like, all year.
And then you get into 2019, the undefeated season with Trey, and we were stepping on people's throats right away. And it was, like, game over as soon as they stepped on the field. It feels like they just need to find a groove and uncharacteristically, like, careless with the football, it seems like, so far.
Like, this is a perfect guy to have on.
Yeah.
From last week, like, it just looked, and I don't know if there's, I'm trying to, like, make excuses kind of, but, like, I don't know, like, as a running back, is there sometimes where the ball just feels different during game? Because, like, we were fumbling the ball, and then we were also, like, guys were falling to the ground with the ball, and it was popping out, like, when they were hitting the ground, too.
Yeah.
It was just on the ground all game, it felt like.
See, that's just careless, that point. You know what I mean? The only time the ball really feels different is when it's super cold or wet.
Yeah. Sure.
You know what I mean? So, the weather was nice on Saturday last week. Like, it was perfect conditions out there in Indiana. So, ain't no excuse. Same thing Coach Rowe would tell us. Ain't no excuse to turn the ball over. That's how you lose games. It's being careless with the ball.
Ball is a program.
They have all those guys with balls in their hand, two balls all day this week.
Ball is job security. Yeah. You got to hold on to the ball.
Yeah, they're running gassers after practice. I know it. Yeah. You know, is that something that is, you know, bred from trying to press and do too much from a guy, like a skill position spot where guys have the ball in their hands? Are they trying to force a play, trying to make something happen too hard that, you know, you get a little careless with? What is it? Fingers above elbow. I didn't listen during Coach Mess. Yeah,
like that. I mean, yeah, but I was the same type of player. I was always trying to make something bounce, something outside, make something out of nothing. And you do get careless with the ball, but at the same time, you got to realize when contact is coming.
Yeah.
And secure the ball. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So it's never an excuse to, if you're gonna flag the ball, make sure you make a play with it.
You know, I think this is a great opportunity, but we won't let you go completely cut loose, but, you know, you're a Code Green hater, as most of us guys on Big O are. So I think we all know that defense needs to be fixed a little bit, run fits and stuff like that. And I feel like that's just a progression throughout the season. And you started on Code Green.
Yeah, they know. They need me out there. You know, they need me back on the
defense. You traveling out, go play Mike.
They need me. I don't need to play Mike. Dude, I come down and play safety, hit somebody.
Yeah, I feel like that's something that usually sorts itself out. But when you play a team like SDSU coming up, you have to have that figured out. That's not something that works itself out. So
yeah, they got to lock in this week in practice and lock into the scouts. And everybody has to be locked in. It's SDSU week. And no week is bigger than the next. But now is really the valley. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I kind of talked about in our group chat, like, previously – we always play SDSU so vanilla. It's like we play four offensive plays, and that's all they see, because we know we'll probably see them in December and January.
Yeah.
But I don't see a path where SDSU loses if it isn't this week. And number one goal throughout the season is to win the Valley.
Yeah.
And so I feel like we're going to see, you know, an actual full-style T-roll playbook this week. What is – it's always been, obviously – I've only seen it from the sidelines. I've never played in the game, but guys seem so tense when we play the Jackrabbits. It's like
it's the coach.
The coaches,
oh yeah,
that's where it starts. Is the coach?
I was going to say when I was on the Code Green, like when I was a D-tack the first 3 years, it was the opposite. The first time we'd play them, it's like these new pressures, like everything's new. We have like 80 checks, like per. It's like, okay, here's our base defense. If they go into this, here's the check. If they go into something else, here's the check.
Yeah,
and it worked, but like. I think it was 2016, 2017, and 2018. We won in 2018, but it was the same thing. We would get so complicated with all these defensive calls that it just felt like no one was on the same page. And then when we played them in the playoffs, it was like what you talk about. We had like four calls.
Sure.
Like the whole playbook, it felt like.
Yeah.
We were just like, we're going to do these four things, and that's it.
Well,
and
guys
were just flying around.
And I talked about this on Bison Report Radio before. Stylistically, every team in the Valley is built to beat NDSU, and SCSU is the best at it. They have fast linebackers that can play the jet motion and also fit run gaps, come downhill. Your guy, Christian Roseboom. I know you're
but
a bit.
But they sit there and talk about that, though,
yeah,
right? Like,
right.
No other team, like, they talk about in the spring, they have NDSU week. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, not focusing on another team.
No yeah, way. When we went on the visit, there was beat NDSU signs. Yeah, you would never see that yeah, in the Fargo Dome or anything.
That's insecure to me. I don't know. Yeah. Like you should be focused on your program and winning every week, not just focused on one team. But I guess when that team sets a standard, you got to set a goal at some point.
Yeah, but I think if you're chasing one team, you can never set your own standard, and that's why they've never won the big one like we have.
Little brother.
Yeah.
I just wonder if they still have that mindset as much as they did like 6 years ago.
Oh, absolutely.
It's the same coach.
So. Yeah.
It's the same coach.
They're like breaking windows out of the press box and dancing on the logo.
Worried about SDS. No.
We're getting him worked up. Anything in Pro Bison? I think everybody's kind of stayed the same. Nobody's been cut.
Yeah, Rado started at right guard on Sunday. So
that love was seeing cool the boy get some burn.
I don't know if it was like an injury or I think one of their guards was injured. So I think they put the right guard to the left or something like that. But yeah, him. Obviously, Cordell's still starting.
Yeah, Cordell is. Can I say Cordell looked horrible in the all white that they wore on Thursday night?
I can't.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Most of the like O linemen do. I mean,
right.
It's just because like O linemen, like it doesn't matter like where you're from, but like none of them have like very good like. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you and I are in no place to talk about how someone looks, but the all white doesn't help anybody.
Not even their body. I'm not talking about their bodies. I'm like, they have no sway.
Yeah,
like they just.
But that's kind of how the position is.
Yeah,
right? Like
you're
supposed to suit up and go out there and battle.
Every old lineman pretty much has no sway except for Trent Williams.
Yeah, I mean, he's always swagged up, but like
he's the only one.
Can I get my guy Cordell? Same cleats, just get them in white if you're wearing all white Cordell. Come on, bro.
Because he had like the black gloves and tape on.
Like
too.
The old Landon Leckler, like black work boot.
Cordell, the last one to care.
Oh, yeah. No, he never would. Yeah. It's a tough look because they have to wear those knee high socks and they're just like, it looks like FM Athletics football. But no, he's really finding a place and seems to be. Obviously, you and I know it's hard to get continuity across an O-line, and when they start to gel, I think they'll be all right. But
yeah, well, I mean, Cordell's, like, so funny, too, because I told Ty before the show, like, Cordell could, like, start for 8 years, retire, have, like, $30 million in the bank, and then just he'll go back to Balfour, build a 4-bed, 2.5-bath right next to the shop.
Yep.
And like put all the money into the business and like
anywhere someone from will, 3 to 8 kids.
Yeah. Someone would like ask it. Yeah. Yeah. Someone will like give him crap 20 years from now about all of his money. He's like, I don't have, it's liquid. It's all.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a funny dude.
Yeah. Cordell's the best. And you know, he shot us a text and
yeah.
I don't believe in that. He listens to Benchwarmer. No. So if he's listening right now, then I'll believe it. But yeah. Obviously Trey seems to be doing all right in his rehab. That was rough and stuff you never like to see. Carson, not a great look from his coach last week. Yeah. But
and like I guess Ty was teammates with Carson.
Yeah, you played with Carson.
But like I don't know. I don't think I've ever met him, but so I don't really. The only affiliation we have together is that we both went to NDSU.
Literally, all of the NDSU quarterbacks have the same personality.
Yeah.
Literally, all of them. You know what I mean? You go from Carson to Easton. Easton and Carson are damn near interchangeable personality-wise. Sure. You know what I mean? I mean, they have their differences. Trey's the same. Nice guys. You know what I mean? Love football, stuff like that.
Cam's so, the exact same
yeah,
way.
I don't know Cam that much, but yeah.
It's just rough for Carson because, like, the Eagles thing was just so crazy. And then, you know, he gets booted out for Jalen. Now he goes to Indy for a year and – he didn't play great last year, but I don't think he was. I mean, look at them this year. They're the same thing. They're 2-3.
Right.
Matt Ryan stinks. Like, their offense is terrible.
Didn't they? They but brought like, Nick Foles in as his backup in Indy, too.
Yeah.
Like, he messed with the guys, you know, and mental. Foles, more,
and then,
even
like,
more.
Foles is still there. He's Ryan's backup.
Right.
But now he's in Washington. They're 1-4. Rivera calls him out. Rivera's going to get canned. He's one of, like, they talk about Black Monday, like, for coaches getting fired, like, the day after the NFL is over the season. He's, like, going to be the first one, if he even makes to the end of the year.
My whole thing
is. So then they're in a spot where, like, they just traded for Carson all his money, but, like, it's the NFL. Money's literally nothing. Like, he's just going to get traded or cut somewhere else after the year so they can go grab one of these college guys.
I just think that's something that could be handled in locker room. Without being on the press conference.
Yeah, for sure.
You're the coach. Go up there and eat the sandwich. Yeah. You know, say it's because of coaching and it was my fault and all this stuff happened. Don't go up there and say it's a quarterback's fault.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever seen someone like, I don't know if I've ever seen an NFL coach do that.
But that might be him trying to save his job too. You know what I'm saying? Like, just like y'all talking about, like, he knows it's a production league. You got to produce. He's the coach. He's at the head of it. Shoot. He got to save face, too.
Yeah.
They should have known they were going to be bad when they decided to call themselves the Commanders.
Yeah, they had a lot cooler options, and they went with that.
I just
– and statistically, Carson hasn't had a horrible year, not to the point where they should be 1-4, but it's like – it's kind of what we've gotten used to with Carson is the inopportune stuff. You know, when they're going down to drive to win and he throws a pick on the one-yard line, it's just – that's the stuff that hurts. But like I said, have your head coach go up there and, like, a guy who's – been through some tough times in the NFL and is probably trying to figure out a lot between his ears.
Well, then, like,
your coach gets up there and says it's the quarterback without
especially
even
like
hesitating.
Rivera's been known as like a player's coach.
Right.
Like, for him to just be a quarterback.
That's what I always respected
with Cooper Rush and, I mean, who was the other one? Giants. Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones.
Like, if you're saying Cooper Rush and Daniel Jones are straight up just better quarterbacks, like, I don't know.
Yeah. I always respect that about Coach Kleiman and Coach Enns for the most part is they get up there and, you know, it's a lot about we get screamed at when, you know, when stuff goes wrong. But
he'll, that's how it should be, though.
Right.
That's,
he goes up on the press conference and say it's on us.
Yeah, that's how it should be. It's a team game. It's never on one person, but the coach, that's where it starts. It starts with the coaching and then the players have to produce.
Yeah. Who's your NFL team?
I don't really have one. Everybody asks me that all the time. I don't really have one. I like just watching good football. I like we got a lot of teammates now in the league, you know what I mean? So I like just watching everybody, but I don't really have a NFL team. I mean, it's whoever's on and it's a good game, that's what I like watching.
Yeah, especially like in this area, you're like forced to be an NFC North fan.
Yeah.
And I can't do it. Now we have two Bison playing for the Chargers. This stick in Tuska, so we have something to cheer for.
I forgot to look for Tuska again this week. I'll try it next week.
I mean, he's
we don't get Chargers games up here.
Ty, we were talking about this last week. Has anybody like been built more for LA than Derek Tuska? Like, I know he's he's from like middle of nowhere, South Dakota. No, yeah.
Well, so like you were in his class. Like the first time you saw him, like where did you think he was from?
Tuska?
Yeah.
I knew he was from
just because like what
country.
He was just because what he was wearing.
The first text Tuska sent in our group chat, our recruit group chat, was him shooting raccoons. Swear to God, he shot. I was like, "What? Who is this dude? Like just shooting raccoons?" And I was like, "Oh my God!" And then we talked after that, like even when he was up here, he's talking about after he gets done, he just wants to go out to Alaska and be a bush pilot.
That's you the know best, what I'm saying? Man. So, like,
I know he probably hates LA, but at the same time, it's probably a good experience for him.
Bro, he looks like a movie star. Yeah. And we, like,
it's just his hair.
His hair, like he looks
blonde,
like he,
curly hair.
He rides to practice on a surfboard. Yeah. Like, he just, I don't know. Tuska's the best.
One of the first times I saw Tuska, it was the both of them, Jared and Derek, and they cornered a rabbit like behind dumpsters, and they were I remember Jared was like, "It's jackrabbit season early this year," because it was like after like a summer run, and they were I don't know.
Yeah, those guys were wild boys. I remember Jared would roll up on his motorcycle, and everybody would like try to steal it or mess with him.
Forgot about that his motorcycle.
Yeah, he thought he was like Sons of Anarchy. I kind of want to save like the nitty gritty talk about SCSU till the end, but I mean, you have on here Zach wanted to go to SCSU, so like we can talk about recruiting and you know all that stuff. But yeah, like I said, Kochak, the used car salesman out here out at Idaho now. He got the head coach position. They offered me my junior year before NDSU, and I just like I knew I wasn't going there. I same thing. Ty,
he's lying to you. He's lying to y'all.
Hey, if it was my only offer, I was going there. But
forget SDSU. You can't even pay me to go to Brookings. I can't go to Brookings.
Yeah. Bro, that school besides whatever, SDSU, whatever, Brookings itself is one of the worst towns in the valley.
That's what I'm saying. Right off the highway, like, it ain't nothing.
You got, like, you're surrounded by pig farms and, like, you know, like sewage ponds, and they have a movie theater that shows two movies, and they just got a Buffalo Wild Wings, and they're it's like living in Wyoming.
It sound like Grand Forks. Yeah. It sound like you
I'd rather live in Grand Forks.
I ain't Barty living that experience. You know what I'm saying? I hope Barty doing well up there. I really don't, but you know,
I know Barty's listening.
They have him in 47. That's the number he's wearing right now.
Well, Barty?
Yeah.
That's because they don't care. You just put somebody in a number you don't care about. That's like when you was at FM Athletics, and then they give you the helmet with the bar through the middle. The bar through the middle. You a skill position like, wearing number 58. Yeah,
46.
Like, what?
I mean,
I don't know. Yeah, but Grand Forks is – I went because, like, I've been to – because Kendra always – like, she has friends that were – I went to SDSU, so like I went down there a couple times, and their campus is fine. I mean, it's like a decent campus, but you go into the campus, and then like you like go around town, it's like there's nothing there,
bro.
They have like their couple of like nightclubs or like their bars, but that's it.
When people talk about like state schools being like the farm school or like, bro, that is what they're talking about. Like it gives places like NDSU a bet, because like I think NDSU. Obviously pretty modern, like they're building new buildings and stuff. Like you walk through SCSU, there's just a cow on the other sidewalk.
I ain't never seen their campus. I will say they the stadium is cold. I do like their stadium. Like when we went down there, I think it was my senior year, we went down there, the whole thing was filled up. Was that college game day? Was college game day?
Yeah, it was game day.
That's when McAfee picked the Jackrabbit.
Yeah. Everything was filled up. It was dope. It felt like Frisco that year.
They have a pretty decent stadium. It's set up like Frisco because it's the one side is like a grandstand with the media stuff, and then the rest of it's like a bowl.
Yep.
And then attached to the one side, that's where they just did the renovations too.
And like, then Caulfield ripped their hearts out. Oh. Yeah. Shout out Stone.
Yeah. Sledge. I was so pissed, man. I ain't gonna lie. I know it sounds selfish. They had me running that play the whole week. Yeah. And then they talk about Caulfield. Caulfield. And then he go 90 yards. I'm like, damn, okay.
We talked about
if he
that.
Got hawked, bro, you would never let him live
it
down.
Hell no.
Because we talked about that play a few weeks ago, I think, on here. Because it was like we were waiting. Everyone on offense was waiting for that play to be called all game. And there was like a couple times where we could have. Like there was that one on the goal line we talked about. And then Cordell, I think, false started or someone false started.
Yeah.
And then like there was, and then we got to the end and I'm like, they're just not going to call it. And then they called it. And I was like, oh,
that was the year. That was the year they ran Trey 30 times the game, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was when we had a couple, like I said, we'll get into it deeper, but like SCSU always feels like they get the bounce or gets the call when they play us and when we lose. But when we win, it seems to go the other way. Do you remember Trey, I think, ran iron going into the other end zone and Roseboom punched it out. It hit the ground and bounced right back into Trey's chest. It's like, dude, that never happens. What are the odds? But, you know, untalked about trick play from that game, another running back. That could have been you. Are you completing the Johnny pass?
That one I don't know. You talking about Dimitri?
Dimitri.
See,
well, because he got hit, right?
Yeah, he got lit up.
He should have never threw it. Yeah. He came back to the sideline, and I cussed him out. Like, dog, I know you my boy, but what was you thinking?
Wait, because
play Madden.
It got picked.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. You getting hit, and you throw the ball. Who do you think you is?
Right.
Like,
I
know.
Yeah.
Just take the sack. Yeah, we'll punt it. And
the play was there, but like you said, just eat it rather than.
He played Madden too. That's all Dimitri plays, Madden. Like, you know a bad pass when you. That was a bad.
Just run out of bounds, bro.
Do so.
Yeah, that. And then I remember 17, we went down there and lost. Yeah. That's when Steak threw three picks, I think.
Yeah.
Shout out to Easton, but that was just not a game we were supposed to win. 2018 was back here, and that's when.
I think we won by like 10.
When they pushed off on Dempsey in the end zone to win it. When Weineke like walked off, they threw a fade ball to him and whatever. My wires might be getting crossed here.
Well, because I think Demp graduated in 17.
Bro, we played SDSU so many times. I don't even know.
Yeah, I know. And then you add in the playoff games when Bruce went off, and I don't even remember all of them. But
I can't stand SDSU.
Man. All that I care about is that we beat them in the playoffs. To be honest with you, I know we want to beat them, and everybody wants the marker back home. And I get yelled at for this every time I say it, but I'd rather. Lose in October and win in December.
I'd rather beat them both.
Yeah. Sure. If I'm choosing one.
I'm rather beat them both.
Well, because we haven't even seen them in the playoffs for a few years now. Because I looked before, the last time we won was 19.
You know what's crazy, though, Quinn? Right? SDSU plays a lot like West Fargo. You know what I'm saying? Like, they do well during
South?
They do well during the regular season, right? Yeah. They might beat you during the regular season. They come playoffs and they...
Yeah,
I can't even
rebut.
They don't never come to fruit. You know what I'm saying? They never win nothing.
I don't know where to go with that, but yeah, we never had James Johannesson to ride the coattails off. But in the rivalry conversation, obviously, like the older generation talks about UND and all this stuff, but. I don't really see them because it's not competitive. You mentioned before we started, it's SDSU and you and I are your two rivals.
Yeah.
What, because historically we haven't lost to you and I for a while.
2014.
My problem with you and I is Farley, dog. Sure. I ain't going to lie. I can't stand both of their coaches, but Farley just, I think it was our freshman year. And we was up in the stands talking straight trash. That was back when they had the players sitting right behind the bench.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there talking my trash like I usually do. And he turned back to us and was like, this is our house. Like, what, dog? And now next year I'm playing. You see what I'm saying? Next year. And now I'm messing y'all up every time I play. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? And then you got your ugly son in the middle linebacker that can't even play football. You just got him. What?
Bro, he snapped his leg up, too. Like, you talk about bad karma. Farley, he had to, get ambulance off the field.
Shoot. My bad.
No, I'm just...
Forget him.
No, it's funny, though, because me and Nash, obviously, same. We were sitting behind their bench talking trash to him, and their tight ends coach, the guy who recruited both of us, turns around and he's like, yeah, that's why you're in the stands. Yeah. And we're on the... I'm like, we're freshmen. You're not playing us either way. What are you talking about? But I just... Because it's the D1 rivalry started with Papa Shaw and LJ Fort. When they shoved him off the field and started throwing punches. That's like where the you and I real hatred started. But it's not as competitive, people think. They always play us tough.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I think that's why it's like considered a rivalry. It's because them and SDSU are the only two.
Bro, and they talk the most out of anybody, I think, in the Valley. They're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even play them this year.
Who?
You and I.
We don't play what?
Yeah.
No. Well,
when does that ever happen?
Never.
Yeah.
Because, remember there was a couple years. We've always had a rotation of teams except for SDSU that we don't play because Indiana State was one of those teams last.
Yeah, but Indiana State weak. That's like I said earlier. Yeah. Like I could understand not playing Indiana State and then Western Illinois. Like those may, but I feel like we should
even Illinois State rotate them up.
Yeah, because they don't play UNI or Illinois State this year.
UND, UNI, and SDSU should be stuck every time.
Yeah,
I think that should be
even USD just because it's they're so close.
I-29. Yeah,
right.
Do you have any, obviously the 2019 game was good because we beat them in the last minute. I think the crazier part of that game was obviously the backbreaker with Cofield. But then when Tuska, body slammed that dude and ripped the football out of his hands at the same time.
They called him down, but it was Tuska's definitely a
dog,
football.
Too. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't even, really realize it, but until like I graduated and I like look at current guys and other guys in the Valley. Bro, Tuska was from a different, was an alien. Yeah.
Tuska was different. Tuska's like that, how they talked about Kyle Emmanuel back then. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just a different breed of DN. Like, he's a different lineman.
Do you have any other marker memories?
Yep. I got plenty.
Yeah, let's do it.
I forget what year it was. They came to the Dome. The year after, their head coach had his little run-in with the law. You know, that spring. They came into the Dome. It was an iron play to their sideline. Me and Lance, or Lance and I. And I cut down their linebacker. And they coach was Steve's is over there talking about, that's illegal. That's illegal. And I looked straight at him. I said, the only thing illegal is you drinking a job. You feel me? So that, and then after the game, we had won that game. After the game, we go over there. I wasn't even worried about the marker. I was looking at Steegs. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I go straight over to Steegs talking some more trash. He's like, FU 28. Yeah. FU 28.
Bro, that I think that's what bothers me most about him is that he does like this holy nutmeg. Like, I'm a nice guy. Bro, he is one of the biggest trash talking.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, do you remember, had it been my freshman year when we lost to him? They shook C. Riles' hands, and they were like, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
And because they were like, I can't remember what it was in reference to. And then we beat them in the playoffs.
We whooped they behind.
And C. Riles tweeted, be careful what you wish for. Yep. He came in Sunday morning. He's like, fellas, I always preach to you guys to not get on Twitter and say that kind of stuff, but. Sometimes a man just has to blow some steam up.
Why you sound like him? C-Rod's my dog. I love C-Rod.
Oh, he's a man, dude. That's
the biggest problem is like when coaches, I don't know, like don't put on an act like Entz. Entz isn't, you don't think Entz is like a, like super like nice, like,
yeah.
Entz, like he's gritty.
You know what
Entz like,
is.
Yeah, he but does that. He acts like that during pressers. He acts like that on the sideline. Like, so if he talks trash to someone, like that's what he's about.
Oh yeah.
Stig, like he sits on the sideline. And he's just like, wears this stupid little visor, like his glasses. Like he like looks all wholesome. And then he like goes and does that stuff. So it's
TV.
Like, yeah, it's like just, cause like if he talks trash, like I respect that. Like, but like, don't act like you're the most wholesome person on earth all the time.
And then you get into the fact that like, he has caused more CTE than motor vehicles.
Do we want to like
this man funny.
His like the
because there
I want to not talk about it, but like the things that like the way he's put quarterbacks back into games after getting hit, it's like a history.
Yeah,
it's like four. It's like four or five.
Taron. Yeah, Taron Christian. Like Jimmy, we smacked dude up.
Jimmy got away with a little bit of a targeting, considering what the rules are.
I remember they smacked dude up, and then they gonna put him in. It was they need to hire Steegs in Miami.
Yeah,
that's what need to happen. He's the next Miami head coach. The way he going,
bro. That I mean, like, and that's like we did a whole rundown on that last week, and like talk about how scary that stuff is, and how coaches need to protect players from themselves because we're competitors. We're always going to tell you we're fine, and we'll find a way to fake like we're fine.
Yeah, they took my helmet.
Yeah, and that's what we said.
Man, they took my helmet. They
should have took your helmet. You barely knew where you were at.
Man, we was running iron to the right, and I ran straight into Dimitri. I was supposed to be lead blocking. I run the wrong way. Run straight into him, running full speed. They was like, Ty, you're done. It's like, damn.
That's what. They don't mess around. Nah, if they see any
they
signs of
though,
it,
you
they,
know,
like, no, yeah. They steal your helmet. There's no question about it. There's no protocol. Like,
well, since
how big are or how big are your pupils? You know, can you walk? Where are you?
Since we're into the topic, Ty.
Oh my God,
was you want to talk about the incident in the weight room?
What weight? You talk about the weight room when the bar dropped. Are you talking?
I don't even know this story.
He was benching and the bar just dropped straight on his head.
Bro, I passed out. I passed out benching, yo.
You passed out?
I passed out benching. And I remember DP strong ass. DP was spotting me.
Yeah.
And it was a student trainer, one of the guys Kramer liked to yell at. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he was supposed to be watching me. It was like a 3-rep max or whatever.
And probably Wes.
Oh, I don't know, but I had like 250 on, right?
Sure.
So I'm sitting there, and all I remember, I got it up once, and that was all I remember.
Jeez.
And I woke up, and DP, he said DP strong ass lifted the bar with just one hand. Like, he tweaked out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just adrenaline and lifted the whole bar with one hand.
Yeah.
And then I woke up to Kramer standing over me cussing the student. He's like, what were you doing? What were you doing?
Bro, I feel so bad for those guys because, like, we could – it was always guys with power cleans, and it was always the guy's fault. And then all the student coaches got screamed. That's his standard, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what I think about this year. It's like a whole new staff for him. It's like, because like Perk's gone now, and like Perk came in after, what's his name? Longer hair. He went to Northern, not Knapp. It was the guy that came after Knapp.
Cahill.
Yeah. And like Cahill was good.
I like Cahill.
Yeah. Cahill's a man.
He's just not like an NDSU guy like Knapp and Perk were. Yeah.
He was so very detail oriented.
I wonder who Kramer got. Obviously, if he got
DeLuca back. DeLuca's helping him out.
Yeah. He's like one of the assistant guys.
He was like, please give me somebody who knows what this program is.
I need someone that knows what's going on.
Yeah. I think, obviously, the two statues. If they're going to build one outside the Fargo Dome, Kramer needs to be one of them, man.
Oh, for sure. I tell everybody, Kramer, the lifeline of that program.
Yeah, like, and the reason, like, and I think that's the craziest part, because I talk to people, they're like, who's the strongest guy? Or, like, what kind of 40-yard debt? I'm like,
don't do that.
He doesn't build freak shows, man. Yeah. Like, it's literally for performance and to be as good as you can, or to pass out and drop the barbell on your head. But, yeah, I mean, I could just see DP too, like, just picking that up one hand.
DP did. And then
he was so strong.
DP was stupid strong. Yeah. He was stupid strong. He didn't even realize how strong he was.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I think Kramer, as much love as he gets in the media, he deserves more. And,
That's just, but you can't expect the public to understand.
They never could.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, nobody's gonna understand the work he puts in, the stuff that comes out of what he puts in, how much he cares for everybody, how much he cares about the program. It's just nuts. Like, nobody else cares about their job that much. You know what I mean? It's more than the job to him.
The amount of stress he went through during COVID, because like obviously you graduated in 19, and like we went through all the COVID stuff on the team, and he called like every guy every other day, literally every guy on the team. So like I would talk to him, and like the older guys he didn't really worry about. So like our conversations would be fairly quick. Mm-hmm. But like I remember one time I was like, what do you got going on today? He's like, well, you're 17th on the list, and I got he's like, I got down here to like 80, so he's like, I gotta make all these calls. Like, he doesn't put on an act, but like he's like so tough, you know, and like, but he loves you more than anyone.
People don't even know
he's the guy you go to when anything happens.
People don't even know. So my senior year, I was going through a lot of mental stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Kramer would come sit in my car at 5 a.m. and just talk. You know what I'm saying? Like, dog, like, you can't even, like, I love that man to death, and he knows that. You know what I mean? I still call him, talk trash, all that. He still be making me my rhubarb pie, which you're late on this time if you're listening, Coach Kramer.
If Coach Kramer listens, not
listening. That's
he me. Is, because I'm going to send this to Doreen. She's going to make him listen.
Shouts to Doreen, made sure we always got paid.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real.
The Kramers, man, they're running Bison football. They're the two who are running it, but. Yeah, man.
How long do you think he's going?
Kramer?
Yeah.
Until he can't. I feel like at this point, it's if he was going to retire, it would have happened. Or if he was going to go somewhere else, it would have happened.
Because the kids are done with, like, isn't Kyle like a senior now? Or like a junior?
Yeah, he's older in high school. Yeah. The daughter's graduated. So her name is escaping me.
Yeah, so it's never going to be like, I need to, hang out with the kids more. Because, like, they were, I mean, when you, like, live with them, I get, like, NFL coaches, like, sometimes they don't even, like, live in the city that they coach for.
Yeah.
But, like, they've been in Fargo forever, so, like, it was never spending time with kids.
But, like, he told us plenty of times when I was younger. He was like, y'all think I do this for the money? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He was like, I've had plenty of chances to go to the NFL. I've had this. He was like, I care about you guys. He's like, I care about this program. You know what I mean?
I mean,
like,
if you don't think he was offered more money to go with climbing to K-State.
Yeah.
I know
can't even.
That was what everybody was worried about.
Yeah.
Well, I was.
Nobody was worried about the next coach.
Everyone
Nobody
was
worried
about
anything else. We was worried about where Kramer going.
Well, it's because we spend every day with Kramer. Yeah. It's not a, because we got to get to the coaches part. But like, I would see like Gazer, like, obviously August through January, but then it's spring ball. But then like the NCAA, they have like laws in place where like you can't see the coaches,
right?
Like at the facility, at least. Yeah. Like it's like you don't see your coaches for months at a time.
You see Kramer every day, every week, except for 2 weeks out of the year.
Yeah,
and that's the year after, or that's the week after Frisco and whatever break you get during the season.
Yeah, like a 4th of July break, and then like the 3-day break during right before fall camp.
I can't even put into words, man. Like, and he knows everybody who's ever been through the program. He knows everybody's weight, like when they got on campus until they left.
Still get PTSD about that scale.
Bro, you're telling us?
Yeah, I already know.
Opposite I don't even want to hear it, bro.
Y'all had to lose weight. I was trying to gain weight.
Yeah. You had the easy job. We had the
easy though. Yeah, it's the same way. No. It's the same way because you can only eat so much.
Right.
Shoot. You got me over there.
Hey. You can only eat so little.
Yeah.
No, you got me over there with nap. I hate pancakes and waffles.
Yeah.
Bro, you got nap me cakes. Eating nap cakes, nap throwing cakes. Them up, and then finishing the rest of the dog.
Nap cakes are nasty.
Hey, just a story about PTSD on a scale. Kramer was like doing checks for teams, and I was like 3 ounces heavy. And he said, strip down to your skivvies. Yeah. And I was just in my underwear. And Ty, I get up there, and Ty looks at me, and he goes, you built like Tripitowski.
And then one time Kramer, I think it was either Ty, your senior year or junior year, you were a little bit older, but Kramer stepped on the scale to reach for something, and it showed up, and you're like, 215. Yeah. And he came and just like punched you in the chest. He's like, shut up.
He punched me dead square in the chest. Like, I do remember that.
Fat.
Oh,
I just remember 215.
Yeah. But,
no, one time. When Kramer started doing the weight checks before practices, do you remember that? I was just like, oh, what are we doing? So one time, me, Beegs, and Big Mike Kelly, we just got out of the DTAC room, and like, it was pretty hit or miss with our meetings during the season. We were either the first ones out or the last ones.
Yeah.
And we were like the first ones out this time, and like, I peeked in there and saw the scales, and like, we were already, like, we would always get ready, the three of us, because like I said, we're either the first ones or last ones. We thought we could trick the system, and like, so, like, we went out to the practice.
I was
like,
going to say, we went into the dome. Meeting room was in the locker, wasn't it?
No, that's O-line. That's O-line.
Okay, yeah.
But we were out, like, by the escalator, by the, what are they called?
Where the running backs room.
The escalators.
The escalators, yeah. So, like, we just went out that way to the dome. Well, all of a sudden, like, we're literally, like, warming up. Not, like, the actual team warm-up, but, like, we're out there, like, messing around before practice. All of a sudden, like, Perk, because I think it was when Perk started, he had, like, just started, like, doing his assistant stuff. He like called us out and he's like, Kramer wants you guys to weigh in. We are in shoulder pad. Like it was a Tuesday practice.
Yeah.
So like we go in there and like, I'm like, I don't know, 3 pounds over and Beeg's like 3 pounds light and Mike steps up there and he's like 14 pounds heavy. I'm just like, Mike, what are you doing, dude? Yeah. And he was just like, oh, we went to like wing night last night. Or like, he's like, I have the 25-cent wings at OB. And I was like, yeah.
Bro, they did not care.
Making us strip down
the boxers, take your knee braces on a Tuesday. Take your cleats off. I remember it might have been Tanner. One of the older guys was like ready to break the scale in half because he was already like laced up, had his knee braces on, all that stuff, and he made him strip down and weigh in. But like the worst, because you know Perk sometimes like was still a player's guy, and he's like, bro, coach, come on. But he like still are you going to tell Kramer I'm not doing that?
Oh, yeah, dude. Funniest Perk story I have. I didn't do it a lot. I really only did it probably once, but I went up there. I knew I was heavy, and I saw where's the beef board was up there.
Yep.
Where's the six pack board? And the handle was just right by my hand, so I just gave it, you know, a little bit. And it was the only time ever where the scale locked. Like,
yeah.
So it ended up I showed 2 pounds light.
Cheater.
Yeah. So I turn around. So I like have a little smirk. Kramer was like, next. And so I get off. Perk's just right there. Oh, yeah. And he's just shaking his head. Like, he looks at me.
Yeah,
like,
he ain't snitch on you.
Yeah. No, but he smirked a little bit. And like, so like, I like was on his side during warmups. And he just was like, you're so fat. He just kept saying that to me every time I ran by him.
Perk, my dog.
You ever cheat on weigh-ins?
Me?
Yeah.
Water.
You water.
Just water, yeah. You didn't do the Travis Beck, the 5 pound plates.
See.
You did it once?
No, I used to wear when it got bad, right? I started, after my shoulder surgery, it was hard for me to gain a lot of weight. Right?
Sure.
I used to take the 2.5s and I'd have like 3 compressions on and I'd put them on the sides, right? Kramer caught my ass one day.
Oh, no.
He like, what's this? Started patting me down. He's like, oh, no. He'd start throwing the weights. I was like, oh my God. After that, he almost made me strip every time I got on that scale.
Yeah, I think
it's funny because like Lane Tucker, he wore like 4 pairs of sweats.
Right.
Every time he weighed
right
in.
Yeah.
So it's like it was pretty hit or miss on like guys. If he were, because like sometimes Kramer was just in a like scale.
Yeah.
Right. Next scale. Right. Next.
Some, like, some guys could pull off the wearing shoes on the scale.
But I think it's all a game. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Like I think. Some days, like, he knows. He's always looking. But some days, he's just going to care a little more. You just never know when that day is
going to be. You should have been there the first time we did weigh-ins after COVID.
Oh.
Because we didn't. Buddy. So, look. So, we COVID happens. They scheduled, they literally scheduled a spring ball practice. We had one spring ball practice before spring break. Imagine that. It was the craziest thing ever.
Yeah.
So like, and that was like a week after COVID had just got to the US. So like, we went on spring break and then we started getting emails from the school, like, you know, we're going online, blah, blah, blah. So like, we had one spring ball practice, like March 17th, 16th, whatever. Next time we all were on campus was June 1st.
Jesus.
Like, that's how long, like, everyone was at home. We won't say names, but we had guys, and like Kramer said, he said, like, because like we would have to send him our weights every week. And I didn't lie because I was just like, what's the point?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I'm 310. Like, I'm 10 pounds over. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, me and Kendra lived in a.
He probably respected that more than, you know what I mean?
Somewhere. Well, like, because like me and Kendra lived in basically a studio apartment. It's like, I have nowhere to work out. Yeah. So it's like, this is best I can do. But like, there were some guys that definitely did not tell him the truth on those weekly updates, because we had one guy.
Oh, we can tell you who it is after.
Yeah, we'll tell you after. He showed up. What was it? Like 36 pounds?
Yeah.
Heavy?
Oh, yeah.
Heavy?
Heavy. Yeah.
Ooh, Nash?
No.
No.
Xbox 360. Hey,
it was not an O or D lineman.
What?
Yeah. Yep. We'll tell you after.
We'll tell you after.
But
like, we had stuff like that. Like, there were guys that were like 15, 20. So like, I went in there and I stepped and I was like 8 pounds heavier than I was like 2.5 months earlier. I'm like, that's a win for me.
Yeah.
Chalk up as a win.
He always knew where I was. And I got
I've cut 8 pounds in like 2 hours for stuff before.
Yeah. Set a hot tub.
Yeah, eight pounds in a week was nothing. Or it's like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't know what anybody expected. Like, if you were a fat guy before, you were getting fatter. And if you were a skinny guy before, you were getting skinnier.
Yeah.
Because I had, like, the Rindies, my buddies had a home gym, so I worked out there. And, like, I'd go away from the card just because I was bored. And he'd be like, nice power cleans. Was that a 90%? And, like, just messing with me. And I'd mess with him back. And, like, but he, like, you'd send videos. He would track. And he'd call you if you, like, weren't doing enough or stuff like that. And it was like he was there still. But I think I came back, I was 12 pounds heavy. And he's like, that's not that bad. Got out the scale.
Not up to 30-some pounds.
I should have went after, and I would have been just fine. Well,
that's the thing. He completely forgot about everyone's weight once he saw that one.
I would have too.
Yeah. And like 12 pounds, that comes off in 2 weeks of practice. He'll be just fine. Yeah.
One practice with a sweatshirt and sweats on.
Yeah. Oh, bro, spring ball when it's like 14 pounds.
And then just skip the supper. Yeah.
Yeah, bro, you had to eat too much. Our first meal was at like 9 p.m. after practice.
This is my thing, right? This is my thing. You learn to not love food no more. Like, when you forced to eat it, I don't even like eating no more. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't enjoy eating.
That's like
I like it too much.
Cole Karch. I was next to him once where he had it down to a science. I mean, there's a reason that dude is like Jack now. But like, he would eat. He had to at least eat three plates every meal.
Yeah.
And like it's a job.
Yeah. One time he ate two, like 6 pounds light.
Yeah.
And he was like, God damn. Like I knew I should have done it one more time. But that was
Before we dive into the real SDSU stuff, we should probably do ad reads. Let's talk about Tunner Insurance, Quinn.
Yeah, Ty, if you need insurance, you know where to go. Tunner Insurance, we're located.
What a sales job. Yeah.
He doesn't answer my calls. This is the only time I can get a hold of him.
Oh, yeah.
We're located just south of Big Irv's and Horace. A lot of construction going on down here, but if anyone wants to stop in, you can just park across the street at the fire station.
Yep.
Gravel parking lot there. We can handle all your insurance needs, home, auto, life, health, commercial. Look us up online. We have a Facebook page, Tundra Insurance, website, tundrainsurance.com.
Say that phone number.
Yeah, 701-969-1661.
Attaboy,
I got it now. Not even written on my hand anymore. Yeah. My extension's 1002 even.
So, wow, look at you.
Yeah.
And so I think Quinn's being too modest about what you guys do. You guys do good enough or great work. You know, you can coagulate everybody from a bunch of different providers, find you the best coverage, cheapest rate.
Yeah, and, we have 20 different providers we can go to. So
yeah, it's nice to work with small business. Obviously, I'm a fellow small business owner, so anytime I can support small business, I think everybody should. Let's get into the SCSU talk. I think we covered a little bit, obviously, through their leadership, why we don't like them. But do you have any specific reasons you don't like them as far as what players have done or certain things that have happened in game?
SDSU is the only team out of my college career that was consistently dirty at some point in the game.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Whether it's at the bottom of a pile, whether it's rolling after tackles, stuff like that. Like, no other team consistently does that. You know what I mean? You might get a guy here or there, but SDSU is trying to hurt people a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And that's just, I mean, I'm trying to hurt you too while we're playing between the lines. You know what I mean? But not after the whistle. So
I think that's, I mean, obviously I was a Bison fan growing up, and I remember Levon. When
the Levon one's like the biggest.
When they high load Levon and like you can see them intentionally rolling through to blow his knee out.
And with Bruce with the pile where they rolling his ankle and
And that's like you said, there's a fine line, and you see it with guys like you and Cordell and, you know, Rado, guys that play hard through the whistle and, you know, will run through your face. But like, what is it? That doesn't make you a better football player or a tougher guy to like grab a dude's ankle and gator roll at the end.
They're just trying to get you out of the game so they got a better chance at winning.
Which is, that's real hatred. You know, you and I is whatever, and UND, and they talk all this crap, and we have the history. And, you know, it's, they play tough and they talk a lot of trash. You can hate them for those reasons. Yeah. But when you're hurting your teammates, those are your brothers, and that's like a line that doesn't get crossed. I guess that's mine. Like I said, it's more stuff that has happened to other guys. With Bruce, and then the Levon one was bad, and like, and then as I grow up, it turns into the Stig stuff where it's like the fake nice guy. And
but you got to think, right? Like, it all starts somewhere,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
And yeah,
the team emulates their leader, so it's like,
yep,
it all starts at the head.
Yeah, they say fish stinks head first. Yeah, but like, and then you get into the because like Quinn said, Stig has like a rap sheet of putting hurt quarterbacks in. And there's one before, I want to say like 2007, 2008, 2009. You can find it on YouTube. And this dude is literally stumbling to the huddle, and he keeps him in for the rest of the game. And it's just, that's not love from a coach. That's churning you up and spitting you out because you're a cog in his program. And that just really rubs me the wrong way and makes me lose a lot of respect for that just program down there. Yeah. Quinn, why do you hate SDSU?
I really don't.
They're my second favorite team.
I don't know, dude. It is like you grow. I mean, yeah, all of us are like, you guys are like super local. Obviously, you're from Fargo, but like being from Lemoore, I mean, I don't know. It's just like built in. Like as soon as you get here, you know. Like it's a thing. Yeah. Like it's just like that's part of it.
When they put the empty marker trophy in the locker room, I don't think there's like any better motivation to go out.
You
want to
know something? So my freshman year, I was on scout team. The marker didn't affect me because I didn't know what it meant at the time, right? Like they put the marker in the locker room, whatever. I can't remember if it was empty or if it was in there or not. But that was the first week in practice where I got smacked.
Yeah,
sure.
Like smack, you know what I mean? Like defense was not playing, and that's what made me a better player, though. You know what I mean? I was like, okay, like this.
That's how you learn.
Yeah, like this is what's coming now. You know what I mean? But that was the first week where it wasn't just thud. Like they was coming full speed to take a head off. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then it's just the way they act, man. Like it's, you can tell their number one goal for the season is to beat the Bison. Yeah. And whereas ours is to win the Valley, nameless, faceless opponent every week. But, like, when they're dancing and throwing the horns down and, like, going on our logo and breaking windows, bro, that is just, like, that rubs me the wrong way every time. Which is probably the point of why they're doing it. But we don't do that. That's why they are who they are and we are who we are.
Exactly.
I don't know why I get so butthurt by it, but, like, the worst celebration in sports is the horns down.
Yeah.
It's, like, the most unoriginal thing.
But I think it's because it pisses everybody off so bad. Like, when I see,
because it works.
When I see Oklahoma players hit the horns down in Texas players' face, like that's the funniest thing of all time. But when Dallas Goedert catches a touchdown and throws horns down, I'm like, get this dude off the field, man. This is so corny.
I think the most annoying part about them is that they like get, I don't know, they just like, they always say like, oh, it's so disrespectful about like all this NDSU. It's like, what do you want?
Yeah.
It's like NDSU was one. You know, 9 out of the last 11.
Right.
It's like you've won none. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't know why you're so mad that you're always the underdog. I don't know why you're so mad that, you know, you're not ranked as high and like, or that you don't get the national attention. It's like you've won nothing.
Right.
You've won regular season games.
True.
You went to one national championship in a COVID a year, season with an asterisk.
Yeah. Like, yeah. COVID year.
And lost.
Yeah, and
you
lost.
Didn't even win it there.
So, like, that's
I told you, a lot like West Fargo.
It's all you've been.
I just... And then you get into their fans, and they have... my buddy Jordan Finkston tweeted, and they're the biggest hypocrites of all time because they get in our face and cry about us complaining and, you know, how we get retro success. And it's like, you guys would be doing the same exact thing, and you do the same exact thing, but you don't win. Yeah. So what are you talking about and getting in my face? And we'll get into predictions later. I just it sucks because you have to eat it until we play them again. Yeah. And even when we win in Frisco, they say, oh, you lost to us. And that's such a loser mentality.
Like, yeah, that don't mean nothing to me if I got this ring.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can have all the regular season wins you want against me if at the end of the year I'm getting what everybody wants.
And that's what makes it sweeter when we do beat them in the playoffs. And it's always, like, nerve-wracking, but it's inevitable that Stig is going to choke and get those boys fired up in the wrong way. And then they get their heads dribbled off the turf. I feel
like in the playoffs they'd be worried about everything else but football.
Yeah.
Like, it's a bigger production to them than just football that week, and that's why they get their behinds.
Do you remember that game, the Bruce game? I don't know why. Like, it's just when Bruce stiff-armed that dude and, like, threw his head off the turf.
Bruce scored 3 touchdowns on the same drive. Two of them got called back. Yeah. And
that was when they instituted the rule that if you're hosting a team for a playoff, you have to allow them to play their hype video. Mm-hmm. And we played it on, like, a 30-by-30-inch square. And it's like Goddard, like, catching a touchdown. And then they just started our intro, and you couldn't hear a thing. And that's the beauty of home field advantage. Yeah. And that's why I'm excited for this one on Friday. I think Dom Izzo tweeted, it's the first matchup of 1 and 2 teams in the Fargo Dome ever.
Really?
And it's going to be it's a sold out crowd. I can't wait for it. I hope we beat them because then sure. I get to hold that over their head until, sure. But
I'm going to be there too. I'm going to try to, get over behind their sideline. Talk just to my buddy a little bit.
Go sit in the student section.
Go sit with the boys down there. Yeah.
I should.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like
have them save me a spot.
Gotta respect their legends.
Sure, I'll get straight 2 Stigs, dog. I'm talking straight trash.
Well, like we've had guys, and like I don't even know if it's like a player thing. I think it is a coaching thing because like we've had guys that you know have worked out with like SDSU players like before the draft and stuff, and they're like they're not that bad. But like they just talk about their coaches, and then like guys like say like. It's like basically what the coaches are preaching to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's, I don't know.
It's a culture thing. It all starts with the coaching and then it trickles down to the players. And
culture wins. And that's why we've maintained the success we've had.
Well, then I was going to say, like, and like me and Willis, obviously it's a little different than Utah, but like, did you ever go into like a playoff game and like were nervous?
I wasn't nervous, more just anxious for it to start.
Sure. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I was. Maybe the only playoff game I was nervous for that I wasn't even playing in was that JMU game where we lost in the dome.
And I guess
the only reason I was nervous that game was because I was a scout team running back that week.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
And I was hitting, you know, the same holes that their running back was hitting that week, I was hitting all week in practice. That was the only reason I was nervous. Like, it was, I knew what kind of was finna happen before.
Yeah.
Bro, that team was nice.
Yeah.
And the next year.
He didn't even go to the league, I don't think. Dude, it was stupid nice. That running back was nice.
And the next year when we beat them in the national championship, that team was even better. And we just, like, outplayed them in Frisco.
Because they had, like, the same quarterback, too, right? I can't remember his name.
DiNucci? What you mean? Dog is trash. Was it DiNucci?
No, it was it was Brian Shore.
Shore, yeah.
DiNucci. Get both of them.
You're not a DiNucci guy?
Nah, he started talking trash after the last game. Talking about... We let them win. Y'all ain't let nothing happen. We took that win.
Yeah.
Here's where I was going to go. Like, the playoff stuff, it's like, beat us, sure, that's fine. But, like, well, like, why are you going to JMU and losing by 30 points in 2019?
Because they prepare for that.
And then it's the fans, too. And, like, I know we've had fan issues as far as attendance go, but, like, it's been, like, 16,000. I've seen
nobody goes.
I've seen pictures. If it's not NDSU or SDSU or USD for an SDSU game, there's 5,000 people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No one shows up.
Yeah.
So it's like you want to talk about just like front runner fans.
And don't let it get cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really ain't going.
I think even just like from an offensive line perspective, they're boring to watch because they like hop in place and like seal people. Like, you know, like we're used to like guys coming off the ball and like moving people and they hit gaps because they're just turning and stopping their feet. It's, I don't know. it's just a different brand of football, and they're especially on defense, they're set up to try to beat the Bison at least once a year, because that's all they do. They can only beat us once a year if they do it. But let's get into predictions. This offense for NDSU is rolling right now, and if they stay out of their own way with, you know, unphysical penalties and uncharacteristic turnovers, they've been rolling, and SDSU's defense is good. I think the Bison come out with a win. I'm not sure by how much. Probably in that 24-10, 24-17 range. I think it's going to be close. But and I'll give credit to everybody that goes to games now. It seems reinvigorated. Even Youngstown, people were loud in there. It was
I ain't been to one in a while.
The closest we've been to a sellout in a long time. And obviously you grew up here. You saw like the very early part of when this started going, when it was 20,000 people in their standing room only, and how loud it was. And like you and I loud, they always talk, it's getting close to that again. And I know the guys appreciate that, because we played a season without the
straight energy.
You know what I'm
saying? That first kickoff be lit every time.
And then you get somebody pops somebody on defense, and you break a big run, and like all that, you feed off the fans, and a lot of it is due to the people in the stands. And I think that's going to come into play a lot. I just want to beat them. I don't care by how much it is. If it's by 1 or 100, I want the marker back in Fargo. But like you said, this is a big step to winning the Valley and then setting up to win down the road. I think the Bison come away at the W.
You want me to go?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Quinn.
I feel like we're winning in overtime.
Okay.
No, it ain't going to overtime.
I'm taking an overtime.
I don't like that. That's too much stress.
Yeah. No, I know. That's what I don't know.
That would be only for the season.
That's what I'm kind of thinking. Because I feel like talk about a stutter.
Yeah, geez.
NDSU, like the defense, the last few years, and I've talked about it plenty, like the size of our defense is significantly smaller.
Yep.
Linebackers, D-linemen, but it's all kind of predicated on more of like a penetration defense and covering people when like they get out and pass.
Yeah.
The reason you have like a defense that, because like NDSU were notorious for, I mean, as far as like D-tacks and D-linemen go, like it's always been to stay in your gap.
Yep.
And like the only time that's really hurt us is against a team like SDSU, who does so much stretch, right. Stretch run plays.
Yeah.
So like if there's any time for a coming out party for this young D line that's fast, explosive, a little bit undersized, like
we got athletes.
Yeah.
Like, and if there's any week to like show what it's like to have like a 270-pound D line across the board, mm-hmm. that can get upfield, it's this week.
And this game has cemented a lot of legacies for a lot of people that have played historically for NDSU. Man, I want to see Wagey get after people. I want to see Mozart get after people. Jackson Dutenhead, for a young guy who's coming up from Mandan, redshirt freshman, and who's really stood out as a guy who's going to be a dude in the D tackle room. Let's see if that's the strategy we're going to go with on defense. Let's see it pay off. And this is a week to really show it.
Yeah, I think the score is going to be 28-21 NDSU.
I like it.
28-21 NDSU.
I like it. I think
we might struggle with stopping the run a little bit at first. They might get some easy big plays, maybe a touchdown off of one.
Their running back's good.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's as good as Pierre Strong yet, but I think he's like a sophomore or something.
Kraft is good. They're tight end.
We might struggle at first, but we're going to come back and lock in and – but we should start out fast, you know what I mean? But I feel like we're going to have to lock in.
Well, it's weird because, like, they've always started – that was the thing, like, the last, like, 4 years before these last couple is, like, they've been the ones to get, the lead right away.
Yeah.
Even that playoff game in 2016, that was, like – so 2016 regular season was the first time they beat NDSU in, like, I don't know what it was, like 6 years or something. And then in the playoff game, they got out, like, 10-0 because they ran that trick play on the goal line or whatever.
Yeah.
And then we scored 38 straight, but
– yeah, I think – the hard part about it is you can't have sputtering in the first half like we saw against Indiana State or USD.
When's the last time SDSU has been here?
It wasn't last year. They played there.
And then it was COVID, right?
Yeah.
It was 2018.
So 2018.
So none of these dudes have even played in a dome, really.
Right.
Yeah, not really.
If they were, they was freshmen. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like I was going to say, I feel like a lot of the time SDSU plays well because – they can handle the noise. Sure. You know what I'm saying? But it's hard if you've never had.
They might have played here in the spring season.
Did they?
Yeah, I think
but
so.
But was that sold out, though?
No. I think it was 20% capacity.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
They haven't experienced the full rivalry, a lot of these guys on the roster. I know a lot of concerns and rightfully so, from fans are that we're starting slow against bad teams and keeping them in games. If you play a good team, you can't start slow and keep them in the game.
We've done that too, though. Like, we go out to Western Illinois. I remember, because it's hard. Oh, bro. Like, you go out to Western Illinois, there's no fans.
It's 7 p.m.
Yeah.
You just ran 2 miles from the locker room.
You think about the bus ride back to Iowa and then getting on the plane to fly back.
You're sitting next to Luke Bacon. Yeah.
But, yeah, it is hard to get, and that's why, like you said, fans are so important. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just for the energy and everybody like that, because it is hard when you don't have fans. Like, you got to create your own energy, and that's what we always talked about in the locker room, was creating your own energy, and those are the games you got to do it. So if they don't have that leader or anybody to start that, you know what I mean?
Right.
That could be the cause to starting slow. Like, you just got to lock in and be your own energy.
Yeah, and a lot of the stuff, like you said, is outside of a coach's control. Yeah. You can talk about all you want, but T-Roll isn't up there turning the ball over in crucial times, stuff like this. You know, USD, I think we had 2 fumbles in the last 3 minutes of the half. You can't have it. That's stuff that can't happen, and you can get away with it when you're playing USD. And you know, coming
doing ball security all week.
Yeah,
I know people got bruises on their arms. that boxing glove on that stick.
Yeah. And then, you know, you go out to Indiana State, you just breathe life into bad teams when you do stuff like that. And
give them hope.
Yeah, SDSU isn't a team I think you can get away with that. So I want to see a fast start. I want to see – my biggest thing is clean play. Cut out the operational penalties. And we shored up tackling on the defensive side. I think we missed 6, they said. That's pretty good. If you're in single digits here, you're good on the missed tackle department. But just the procedural stuff and putting the ball on the ground, you can't have it. And, you know, I think – this is the best barometer we're going to have this year, as far as this is how you're going to have to play in the playoffs to win all of them. And I think, you know, this is your good test for an untested team so far.
True. Yeah. And like offensively, it's kind of crazy. Last week you're on the road, because you don't want to play bad, but as long as you get a road win in the conference, it's a win.
Yeah.
Offensively, we scored 31 points and they had 3 turnovers.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we should have killed them by a lot. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it's just, you can't turn the ball over. And that's the thing. Like, if I was playing for SDSU, this shit would never happen. You know what I'm saying? But, like, being on the other side of it, like, seeing that, they're probably looking at NDSU like, oh, they're trash right now. You see what I'm saying? They're looking at us like, which that could hurt you in the end, too, because NDSU comes out this week ready to play. Now you underestimated who you're playing against.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? But I already know, because I've thought about teams like that before. Like, we played SDSU after, I think, they had a rough game with Missouri State. Sure. You know what I'm saying? But you can't go off of last week. You just got to go off of what film's talking about and what the coaches are presenting before you.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Indiana State stat line, how Cam Miller played, and, you know, a guy like Tamarick stepping up when they're keying Lipke and he's not getting going. This offense is as deep and rolling as hard as it ever has. Mm-hmm. It's just 3 turnovers, man. You can't have it.
Can't do it, yeah.
And
that'll be the biggest thing. Like, you never want to lose the turnover battle, but especially a game like this. I mean, if we go – because Indiana State didn't have any turnovers.
Yeah.
And we had 3. If we do that against SDSU, like, percentage of winning, not very good.
I don't think you will win.
Yeah.
I'm sure T-Roll will have some PowerPoint put together focus violence and all this stuff.
What's today, Tuesday?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was Monday. They already went to had all the red on the board. I've already done.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's a fine line, but we know how to do it at NDSU in games like this where it's, you get up and you have the energy, but you're not playing so tight that you can't focus on your job and do what you need to do. I'm excited for these guys.
I live for games like this.
Yeah, because it's, one, you get to show the fans, like, hey, we're still the Bison. We'll be all right. And then you get to beat SDSU on top of it if you play your game. I just want to see clean, focused energy, and then, you know, don't shoot ourselves in the foot, and we'll be just fine.
Before we get out of here, Ty, I need to ask you about your position coaches. I feel like out of like any position, like you and like the position coaches you had.
Oh yeah, were like, I forgot you have some absolute like nut jobs.
Just the funniest pair between you and whoever like was the coach,
your coach that year. Regardless,
well, that's what I'm saying. Because who did you have?
I had Coach P.
Yeah,
that was who I started with. He didn't even know my name for the first dude. Because I started at corner, and then they moved me to running back. Dude called me Tyler. for the whole spring and half of the summer. And
we're talking about Mr. Tim Polasek.
Yeah, Polasek. I love Coach P.
We'll talk about it after, but we discovered some Twitter gold. Coach Polasek.
Coach P is my dog. He's the reason Coach Roll is the way he is.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
He's like, the reason the Cody Morgan. Energy. Cody Morgan.
He was Cody Morgan's Pee Wee football coach.
I didn't know that.
Something like that, right? It was something like that.
No, it was because
one time.
No, it's this baseball. This is youth baseball.
Baseball. Yeah, because yeah. one time Cody shaved his head during 2016, and he was the scout team D, whatever. So like we were like, why did you get a Coach P haircut? And Cody was like, oh, I can't get a haircut without getting called Coach P. And he sounded like Coach P when he was saying it.
No, I remember Coach because that was like when Cody was a GA.
Yes.
Right. It was like our freshman year. Yep. So he was always in our meetings because Coach P was the old coordinator. He used to, I ain't gonna do Cody like that. He used to make Cody warm his car up.
Oh no.
He used to sit in, like, it was hilarious. Cody's my dog too, but
bro, these GAs do not get enough for what they go through.
Why don't you get into coaching? I've seen it. I'm not. No, I can't go through.
Like,
that.
Am I gonna get a position coach like immediately? No, you gotta work yourself. No.
Live in the facility. No, I'm not doing that no more.
Writing down scout team cards and then screamed at if they're wrong.
Yeah.
But I had Coach P, then we went
Mess, right?
Was it Mess Friday? Yeah, it was Mess. Yeah. I had Mess.
Mess name was
right. Me. Coach Mess, that man hated me. That man did not like me, but that's okay. We butted heads a lot, yo. We butted heads a lot. That man was Bruce's daddy. That man loved Bruce.
Bruce.
Look at Bruce.
Oh, my God.
But after him, we had Coach Larson.
Yeah.
Coach Larson's still an idiot. He's the lineman coach now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Coach Larson was good. He loved football.
Hated Sabian.
Give me a Sabian.
Yeah. I didn't want to do that, but this man.
Sabian! That was like
the best.
That's the equivalent to Hedberg saying Henry.
Oh, yeah.
Henry!
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Bro, when you post a Snapchat memory of you recording.
Oh, man.
Up in the meeting?
Yes. Yeah. Any of your Snapchat memories with Sabian and Coach Lars.
Bro, and the best. But the funny thing is, right, like Sabian would always have the same response. Okay. Okay. Bro, it would just defeat him, right? Like, yeah, we'd come out of the meeting room. And Sabian's like, dude, I can never do anything right. It is like, damn, dog. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I can picture him saying that. He, like, throws a hand in the air, like leaving. Like,
bro, Sabian was so funny.
Yeah. Sabian was hilarious. Sabian's my dog.
Was Coldfield. That? You graduated with Lars?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh,
He was your last one.
I think so.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
So I think that was his first year in.
What a crew of three coaches right there. I mean, I had C. Riles, Blazek, and Larson. So, like, I had all three of, like,
three hot heads.
Yeah, yeah.
Three high energy guys.
Oh, bro, just constant screaming at me for 4 years. You guys know. But I just, it's so, the running back coach is always a weirdo. I don't know what it is because.
You got to have it, though, because, like, this is my thing. You got so many different personalities in the room, right? Yeah.
Like, even you, Sabian, and Cofield. Like,
right.
Those three personalities.
But this is the thing. Like, it was me, Sabian, and Cofield at one time. And then we had
Seth.
Oh, whatever. I forgot about Seth, y'all. Then we had, then we had Lance and Bruce.
Yeah.
Same room. Cause, like, I think that was Sabian's freshman year.
Upstairs. That was, remember Sabian's first visit, yo.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Sabian's first, he came, it was in the spring. We was chopping up film. And one of the coaches brought him to the meeting room. He was like, there's a Sabian. He's from Iowa. He's going to be here in the fall, blah, blah, blah. And I looked back at him, and I was like, what the hell is you doing here? Sabian's like, am I not supposed to be here?
Oh, my God.
And then coach took him out of the room, and then I forget which coach it was. He was like, you can't do that to the rookies.
Dude, did you ever have that? Were you ever in the room where, like, a recruit would come sit in the back?
No.
We did it once. It was Javi.
Oh,
and Javi came in. It was 2018. It was 2018.
Bro,
No. We're not doing it. We're not doing it.
Tell us.
We're not doing it. But Javi came and sat in the back, and Blake was a senior that year. So Blake was like throwing stuff at him. Yeah. Like he had like his butt hanging out. Like, yeah, I don't know. Blake kind of like did his Blake thing.
Blake Williams?
Him, yeah.
Oh, my God. Iron Man. No, that was, what's his name? Who was the one? Oh, y'all weren't even there. Dude wore every brace there was. Who are you talking about? He was an old lineman.
Zimmer.
Yeah. Oh my God.
He had Zimmer for 2 years. I had him for one.
Oh, Zimmer. Yeah. He graduated in 17. Yeah.
Zimmer was Iron Man'd up every day. Like, how do you move?
Yeah, I remember.
You don't. Like,
him and C-Riles used to just like yell at each other about everything. And we could do 3 hours of podcasts about funniest dudes. But like, the running backs have the weirdest collection of dudes because there's so many dudes and they're like from all over the place. And
even when EP was in there, yo.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
That, my bro, it was me, King, Chase Morlock, Lance, Bruce, and DP.
Yeah.
With Coach P. You know what I'm saying? Like that room, period. Like you got Coach P, who's just crazy high energy. Or you got Chase, just does what he needs to do, work. You know what I mean?
Still old man.
Just the old man of the group. Then you got King, who's crazy.
Yeah.
Then you got all the young guys. DP just.
And the running backs think they're the funniest dudes on the team.
We are. What do you mean?
No. You come through the Ram Room. Oh, there's a reason we wrote the stories.
Y'all are just nasty.
And you think you're the best. And you think you're the best singers.
Oh,
First of all, we are. Who is?
We are.
If we not. I'm on my Dion. Who is if we not?
We are. Bro, that was crazy. The Dion stuff. Yeah. I don't want to get into all that. But, yeah. No, I think running backs are almost like little D or little O linemen. Like, they're like wired different, too.
That's why me and Cordell got along.
Bro, you're getting tackled on every play. You have to be a crazy person to do that.
Hilarious, yo.
Cordell is one of the funniest dudes I've ever met. And then you get Tanner, who's even more like hard edge, like just his country. And you can't understand. You can't understand a word he's saying.
Tasmanian devil.
Yeah. Oh, I wish we could sit here and chop it up for 3 hours, but we'll get everybody out of here. I got nothing left to say. Beat the Jacks. Go Bison.
Yeah.
Ty, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, yes, appreciate that. Going to be a big week for the boys. So
yep.
If you can't, you know, make it to the game and crew, tune in on TV.
We'll be at tailgating, too. Come say what's up.
Ooh, for sure. Yeah.
Come through.
Yeah. Yes, sir. And make sure y'all get y'all Tundra insurance.
And Big Deck Barbecue.
Go Bison.